Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. I have my team filling in for Qasim today. And our guest today is Michael Ferguson. So Michael, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
My name is Mike Ferguson. I am the president and CEO of Ferguson Farms. We're out of Plant City, Florida. Woohoo, yeah. Central Florida. We own and operate an e-commerce direct-to-consumer farm that specializes in grass-fed meat. The most nutrient-dense meat you're going to find anywhere in the world. And we ship directly to your door.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this business?
Well, the idea was actually a little further back. It started with a doctor's visit, as weird as that sounds. I went to the doctor. I was in my early 50s, and I'm a healthy guy, relatively healthy guy, and take no medications. And you ever get the feeling that someone's pushing something on you? They really want you to take a shot, an injection, but they really don't have a reason why. You know, it's, are you taking any medications? No. Well, we're going to fix that, is how it felt. Like, we're going to make you take some medications today. And I walked away from that appointment feeling a little weird. I started doing some research and went down some rabbit holes I suppose most Americans don't want to go down. Most people don't want to go down because you can't unsee some of the things that you see, like the connection between pharmaceutical and that there are four companies that produce most of the food here in America, and that most of the meat is imported from other countries and highly vaccinated, highly GMO'd, and highly growth hormoned. And those things directly impact our bodies and how we feel and how we live. So I started digging, and I dug and decided a little bit after that I was going to start taking control over my wife's and the diet that my family has. So I started a garden, and the garden turned into an entire backyard in a suburban Tampa neighborhood of square foot gardens, and I was producing produce for the neighbors and everything. And then I saw a video. Fella had the video was titled "How do you get 100 chickens in your freezer?" And he raised 100 meat birds in chicken tractors that you pull along every day, and the chickens eat grass and bugs, doing what the chickens are supposed to do, and some feed. And then you process them and put them in your chest freezer. I'm like, I'm done. I'm doing this. So I ordered, went online and ordered a bunch of one-day-old chicks, and they came right to the post office, amazingly, and started raising chickens. And for the first year of Ferguson Farms, first 6 months of Ferguson Farms, we were just the chicken business, grass-fed, pasture-raised chicken business. And I started giving them away, and then my neighbors were like, hey, man, people will buy these things. I started looking, and who knew? These were in demand. So I started a CSA and started selling them bulk, and people were buying them in, you know, in six packs and everything. And then those customers, very happy customers, wanted beef. So I started digging into beef and started networking with other ranchers down here. Realized that there were a few that were grass-fed and regenerative, using regenerative agriculture practices. And we hit it off and started looking for a way to get this to the end consumer website. And it went through three different platforms before we found the one that we found, and we're off to the races. And so that gave us our grass-fed and finished beef, our pastured poultry, and network with some other ranchers and farmers and fishing companies. And now we have the full lineup of grass-fed beef, bison, elk, lamb, wild-caught seafood, and pasture-raised poultry, all shipped right to your door nationwide. And we're 3 years old now and kind of growing like crazy every quarter. It's like holding a tiger by the tail.
So that's the short bit. No, that's awesome. It's like, what makes you better than your competition?
What makes me better? I don't know about better, but what I love most is getting to meet our customers. It's changed a bit over the past year in particular. We started our shipping program about 2 years ago, but before that, I was delivering in my truck. So the Ford F-150 would pull around with coolers in the back, and the customer would say, Mike's here with our meat. Yay. And they'd invite me in, and we'd talk, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, 30, 40, 50 deliveries per week, and, you know, a lot of happy people. but had to transition. But the cool thing is educating. What we like is educating customers, because most customers, most people, uninformed Americans, or don't pay attention to what they eat. They eat the standard, I'll say standard American diet, which is how you end up at the doctor's office, unfortunately. And we do farmers markets, and we talk to people about their autoimmune issues and where it comes from and why their doctor wouldn't tell them about where it comes from and how to cure it. And it's most of these chronic illnesses are foodborne illnesses. And I love seeing people's eyes open up when they go, wow, it's what, not only what I'm eating, but what I'm eating, what that ate and what it was injected with. And, you know, in some cases where it was raised, but, we love educating our customers. We love informing. We have the, I think we have the most informed customer base of any business out there.
So can you talk more about that shipping process? Because like, you know, when you're shipping, I would say it has to be like a certain temperature, right? Temperature control. Yeah. So how do you ship, you know, across the country and keep it like at a good temperature?
It's super high tech, man. You'll love this. Dry ice. So yeah, your box comes, we've got a 12 by 12 by 12 box and a 14, 14, 14 box, and your meat comes insulated. They're insulators with dry ice, frozen, taped. And of course, it's got, you know, it goes, comes to the UPS, but comes right to your door, frozen, insulated, dry iced, and ready to go into the freezer.
Awesome. Yeah. So yeah. You spoke earlier about finding like the right website platform. So are you using Shopify, or like, you know, what is the role of technology for your business?
We found an awesome company called Grayscart, and they're industry specific. And one of the, I tried Shopify initially, and there was a, I guess a rub with the initial customers that they couldn't tell easily when their meat was going to come and how it was going to get there. It wasn't like selling a shirt. It, very, very different. So this platform allows me to not only do that, but manage inventory and the other important things that involve, they're involved in running a business like this. But the cool thing is that it informs the customer through the entire process from when they order. They know exactly when their shipment's going to come. They know, they not only that, but they know how it's going to get there and so forth. But beyond that, we now started a subscription program. So if you want your meat to come regularly, you can set it up for a 2, 4, 6, 8 week cycle, and your meat comes right to your door automatically. You have all full control. You can change it, modify it however you want to. But the cool thing is that that thing that most people hate doing, which is driving to the store or going to a farm to pick up meat, comes right to the door the way Amazon trained us to do.
Awesome. So are you using artificial intelligence at all in your business, or do you see any use case for your business?
Hey, you mean like a chat?
Yeah, like any AI, whether it's chatbots, whether it's, you know, tools to recommend products or inform your customers, even for content, right?
Like, I don't know. Chatbot, we use a chatbot with our sort of our help, what do you call it? Yes, we do a little bit, but I'm sure we could use more. Just exposed to chat GPT and I'm sort of amazed by it. that could do a whole lot for a business.
Yeah, definitely. I think when it comes to AI, there's so many use cases of, like, you know, helping save time for customer service inquiries and things like that.
Right. Yeah.
So in terms of your business, you're talking that, you know, you're talking about growing, right? You keep growing, which is awesome. But how do you, you know, view growth for you? Because, like, obviously, like, you have a farm, there's like, you know, so much, you know, so many animals that you can, you know, work with. So what does that look like for you? Are you planning just getting more land, or like, what is your goal for your business?
Great question. So I talked to a network with a lot of ranchers. And as a matter of fact, there are a few that we put together groups where we talk about problems, things like that, and how we solve them. Well, the conclusion that I've come from is that we have to, if we're going to do what we're doing now, which is doing feeding informed consumers, something like this. Now, everybody's not our customer. We recognize that. I recognize that. But we want to make sure that everyone has access to what we have, anybody who wants it. All right. To do that, I have to prioritize what's important and outsource the things that not that aren't important, but other people probably do better. So initially, year one, I was raising cattle, raising poultry, raising chicken, and marketing, website, shipping. And it was like, I don't like this anymore. It's not what I wanted it to be. So I started networking, and I found a fella who was way old farmer, young guy, who's way better at raising poultry the way I wanted it. And I worked out a deal with him. He raises our poultry now on his land, and he does it the way I did it, all grass fed, the chickens explore their chickenness every day. They eat grass, bugs, some feed, and we process them. So it's outsourced. I still handle shipping. Our beef, we found two grass-fed beef suppliers here in Central Florida, and we're sourcing from those guys. And they make a better steak than I ever made, honestly. So I think it's as a business owner, it's important to find out who does things better than you, and focus on what you're good at. Is the net.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So Michael, what are the biggest challenges you're facing right now in your business?
Well, the biggest hurdle in this business is cold storage, typically, having a way of storing. Now, most of the storage facilities for perishable goods are very large facilities, and they are geared towards much larger businesses. They're looking for the semi-truck, 50-100 pallet type organizations. We're at a stage where, we'll house 5-6 pallets of beef, but we're cycling through them weekly. We're the goal is to not have it sitting there too long, but to sell it as we process our inventory. I was renting space, and we had a couple hurricanes, and come to discover that cold storage facility didn't have a backup. I lost several $1,000s worth of beef that day. That was a horrible day. We just added on-site cold storage here in Plant City, so I control it, which is good. But that's something that has to scale as we get bigger. And it's these are hard costs that this business will have to absorb. But that would be the biggest. The other are the unknowns, like how to best use marketing to reach a consumer that either wants this or doesn't know they need to want it, that they need it, and ignoring the ones that don't want it. So the cost of marketing is big.
So how do you market? Like, how do you tell people? Because like obviously what you're doing, there's so much value for it. And I think that to your point, many Americans don't even think about it. They don't even like understand why the meat that they're eating from the store is not high quality, it's not good for them. Like, how do you market and just provide this information for people about why you're what you're doing is so amazing?
Yeah, good question. Well, I guess getting up front with what it is and how it's different. So our costs are a little different than what you're going to find at a Costco. Our meat's more expensive. It costs more to raise a beef on grass to get the, a year and a half, 2 years on grass than it would cost to have a beef that's on grass for the first year and then in a feedlot for another 4 or 5 months with growth hormones, which is what you're getting from store-bought meat. So making sure the customer knows that this ribeye is different. Why? Because it's grass-fed and finished. No GMOs, hormones, or antibiotics ever. No mRNA vaccinations. That's big nowadays. That's something we never thought would ever happen. But it's happening and it's important to people. We'll never inject anything into our animals and it's shipped right to you. We market mostly through Facebook and Google, and we're dabbling. That's me. I'm dabbling with this, learning how to do this and in a way that's cost effective. But we also, our website is designed in a way that annoys a lot of people, but it's important to me that we have your information so we can market to you and communicate with you. If we're talking business, this is business. I own that list, right? Nobody else does. But, the average customer hangs out and looks at us for a while before they make a decision, which makes sense. I would too. They don't know me, right? I'm some guy who says I've got grass-fed beef, and they look at reviews and they look around and they go, oh, that steak looks pretty good. I wonder how I do it. Okay, let me go ahead and buy this thing. And they've been looking for 4 or 5 weeks and getting emailed to say, hey, here we are. Here's why. That's how we market. We were also added farmers markets. I never wanted to do farmers markets, but I'm finding some value in them locally. So we've got 3 farmers markets now. I've got a team of guys who do an incredible job of selling grass-fed and finished meat and seafood there. And we're going to expand that. And I think this coming year, we're going to do some wholesale stuff. And I'm thinking about restaurants, but I don't know. We'll see. Restaurants are finicky.
So, yeah, that makes sense. We spoke earlier that you were looking at potentially doing some more video content. I think in 2023, that's what people want to see. And they want to see more about you, yourself, Rex. You're talking that they don't know you. But I think if you're posting videos, even like this interview, saying, hey, listen, this is who I am. This is what we're doing. This is our mission. Even if it's in short form, you post on TikTok, it's very easy to go viral on TikTok or Instagram in 60 seconds. That could add lots of value for your business.
I agree. I have to get over myself.
Awesome. Yeah. So what would you say is your top business priority in the next 3 to 6 months?
Top priority? Grow the subscription program. The cool thing about the subscription program from the business perspective is it allows me to manage inventory in a different way. Our customers who subscribe to Ferguson Farm, Subscribe and Save, get a 5% discount on all orders. They get a freebie item, so a free pound of ground beef, sirloin steak, or stew meat, which would be like a kebab meat. With every order, automatically, they get a freebie item. And they get preferential treatment when it comes to inventory. Since we're small, sometimes inventory snafus happen, but the Subscribe and Save customer always gets preference. They'll rarely, if ever, get a we're out of stock on an item, which is important to them. So the priority is to grow that segment of our business. Of course, grow the order amount, which is doing really well. We have not only offcuts, so you can create your own box, or you could just choose one of our boxes. Shipping is free above $149, and we're looking to push that higher. Right now, our average order is about $220 per order, and we're pushing 30 orders per week out the door, which is not bad. We're looking to grow, though.
You know what I'm thinking? If somebody subscribes, maybe you can even send them short videos of like certain recipes of you cooking it. That could be like a value add for you. I think it just adds that personal touch, like somebody from your company, because I think that'd be cool.
I agree. We do recipes, but again, they're not in video format. I have a fellow who I was doing some work with who does barbecue type videos. Amazing. For me, I'm familiar with Facebook. I'm not familiar with TikTok enough. And I question whether that market segment is who my market is.
Right.
My market typically are people over the age of 35, between 35 and 60. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I think the bulk of the people on TikTok are younger.
You'd be surprised, because I was listening to a different podcast of a guy who does B2B SaaS. And he was saying that people of all ages, and he actually got somebody, he got a deal just from TikTok, but the person saw him on TikTok, but they reached out to him on LinkedIn. They didn't reach out. But it's like where people hang out. I don't know. I'd say it's like one extra platform to post. You can just create one video. You can post to TikTok, Instagram, right. YouTube. Even if you do it once a week or something, it doesn't need to be like anything crazy. But I think it's like if you just cross post, and there are platforms where you can do it for free, you can just cross post on all the platforms simultaneously and schedule it out. The more platforms you post to, you can figure out the hashtag. I don't know. I think TikTok has been, TikTok is the easiest place to go viral in 2023. And I think even, there could be people, I would say, and this is just like my perspective, I think people in their 20s, basically, I'm almost 30, but it's that they're more health conscious. I think younger people are seeing, we were talking about vaccines, stuff like that. It's like we're seeing these kinds of things and the benefit of what you're selling. Even for me, it's I haven't tried your product, but I already can taste it. I'm like, this is really good. So I feel you just never know. I think, maybe right now you might have a certain customer base, but I think
I think you're right. We're discovering this at the farmers markets, that a lot of the people that are buying at the market are younger folks, and their reasoning isn't just, so they're carnivore or they're keto. They work out. They recognize that there's a problem with what's in the stores, and they're very informed about it, which is really cool. So I might need to change my thinking about that market. So yeah, I agree with you. I'll have to nail that down.
yeah, it's trial and error, but I say it's like free social media advertising. It's like you just can't beat that kind of exposure. It's like, why not? Yeah. And you post the even videos of you cooking or videos of you out on the farm, like with your animals, like stuff like that. People that's cool. That's really cool stuff.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. If you're not
connected to the farm, which is kind of cool. And I totally agree with you. Yeah.
If you don't believe, my mom used TikTok, and I don't use TikTok even.
Your mom uses TikTok.
Yeah, but I don't use.
I got to figure that part out. Now, what I haven't done is I haven't marketed on LinkedIn. I'm considering doing some corporate stuff, corporate gift type boxes for corporations that are looking to reward or gift grass fed beef to their clientele or to their employees. We might do that in the fourth quarter for between Thanksgiving and the holidays, Christmas and such.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you can, you know, I as an employee, if I were to get that kind of gift from my employer, like that's a great gift for the holidays.
Six pack of ribeyes, you'd be like hooked, right? Yeah, great employer.
100%. So what is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
Not to say that I knew it all, but this isn't my first rodeo, but...
Or just before you started like business, just like in general. I mean, I'm not sure like what you did before.
I wish I'd delegated earlier. I'm still doing too many low value tasks in the business. And we're finally getting around to creating a management structure, a leadership team type of thing. I think I underestimated how many people valued this business. It started off not as a hobby, but I was quasi-retired. Okay, so I didn't go into this thinking I'm going to be a billionaire. Yay. Time to go get my Lamborghini. No, it was okay. I was raising veggies and meat for my family and taking responsibility for our health and discovered that there were like-minded people around us who jumped on board. To my amazement, I was shocked at how many people quickly jumped in and threw their meat budgets at Ferguson Farms to get the right kind of proteins for their families. And we're excited to do so and still do. A lot of cheerleaders. And it amazes me every day.
Great. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for your business?
I expect that we'll be much, much larger. We'll have a leadership structure in place. The next butcher box. How's that? Only we will not have compromised. How's that?
That's amazing. Yeah, that's important. I mean, seriously, I think it's so important. It's staying true to, you know, your values as a business. And it's
a juggle.
It's a juggle.
No, the difference is sourcing grass-finished beef is not the easiest thing to do because the reason why most businesses end up changing what they do and just saying American beef, which really isn't always American beef. It's being imported in a lot of cases from South America and Canada. But it's hard to find people who raise just grass-finished beef. It's slowly dying away. So the more people, if you ever wanted to protect agriculture in this country, start buying from a farmer who does that. It's going to be more important than you know. You know, during COVID, we saw what happens when we trust just four companies and the governmental influence. When you know Tyson has a processing plant burned down, and all of a sudden there's no chickens, you know, and you go, wow, how about that? Or all of a sudden you can't get beef. You can only get one steak. You know, that's not what we do around here. But stocking up is also very important. But we'll still be in business. We'll still be taking care of our customers. I don't know about growth, how big we want to be. I've been struggling to answer that question. I don't know that I have a goal around that. I kind of do, but.
Awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media handles? Like best way for somebody to get in contact with you?
The best way is through fergusonfarms.farm. And there's a short handle for that, ferg.farm. Ferg.farm gets you right to our website. And it'll ask, our site will ask you just to give us an email. And that way you can take a look at prices. But that's how we communicate with you. Letting you know who we are, what we do, how we do it. You can always opt out if you want to. It's not a big deal. But that's how you do it.
Awesome. Well, Mike, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure. We're rooting for you.
Thank you.
Hopefully we can chat again in 1 year as you guys keep growing your company.
I look forward to that.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mateen. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Bye.